Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, April 27th, 2015. Good afternoon, Alf.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, what a day we have wove here at Discount Gold and Silver. And gold today is doing a nice job. Gold is up $21.70 right now at $12.03.10. We have silver up 64 cents today, up over 4% on the day, which is nice, $16.49. We have platinum up $25 at $11.53. And palladium was up 8 at $781. The USDX today was trading slightly lower, 0.12, at 96.74. Crude oil today was down 0.32 at 56.83. And the last hour of trade, you saw the Dow drop 41 points, 18,039. The NASDAQ's down 31 at 5,060. And the S&P down 8 at 2108. 10-year yield is a little bit stronger, 1.92%. Euro still trading at 109, up 0.06. And foreign markets, the DAX, the German DAX was up almost 2%. London was up 0.5%. And we have Hong Kong, the Asian market, up 1.3%, up 372. And Nikkei is still sort of just hanging out at that 20,000 level. It was down only 36 points. So that is it. The fear and greed index, that dropped a little bit. We're looking at 59 greed last week. I think it ended the week in the 60, 65 range out of 100. So
it's 65 beginning, meaning more inclined to fear.
More for greed. More for greed. The lower it is, the more fearful it is. So we're still between neutral and greed. So
Statistically. Where do you think we should be?
Baby, we should be 100% fear with what's going on and everything that it's. I mean, when you're prepared, you don't have to be fearful. Be prepared, not scared. And that's how folks need to view things when we go through this and we see things change. But
you know what I think?
What do you think, Al?
I think their fear and greed index having two poles and you're either more fearful or you're more greedy. And I think that's a mistaken index. It's an incomplete index. I don't doubt that the idea is fundamentally true, but I think there should be a third pole on that index. It should be kind of triangular rather than just lineal between two points. Fear on one end, greed on the other end. We need a third pole on that, and that is smarts. Got a fear, greed, and smart index. And the smart pole would be for the people who aren't fearful and they're not greedy, but they do have brains enough to look at the situation and say, I think this is where it's going.
Well, smart is not an emotion, though.
I know.
So
that's part
you'd
of the
have
problem
to have a separate
with the fear and greed index is that it makes no allowance for people that are looking at things perhaps objectively and not seeing their judgment colored by their fear emotion or their greed emotion. How about an unemotional poll for people to say, I think I'll buy low and sell high. Right? Maybe I can filter out the fear and filter out
the
greed.
What's the fun in that, Al?
Well, the fun is when you actually, if you are truly smart,
well, we know
the fun is that you actually wind up making a profit as opposed to merely going into panic and anxiety every time your investment jumps up or jumps down. Oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to get rich. Oh, maybe we need a third point. Fear, greed, and smarts.
Well, we get that, and we know that fear and greed are the two driving emotions behind the market, and you're absolutely right. We see it in the gold market. People don't really begin to load up on gold until you see the cracks. And when we begin to see the cracks, or we have even a situation, we go back to 2008. I mean, how many years did we talk about the problems in real estate and all the problems that were facing us? They were rewriting the bankruptcy laws. There were all kinds of signs. What did people do? Oh, sure. And you're right. There was the smart ones who were buying, who were getting in prior to. But a large amount of folks, they waited until it actually happened, and then they started, to buy, gold and preserve their wealth and so forth. So you always have that those strong emotions that now they're in the stock market because that's greed, 18,000, and there's silly projections out there. Maybe they're not so silly, where you'll see the Dow going to 31,000 and so forth, and it's.
Well, I'd also amplify this notion, which is just now crossing my mind. The people that are subject to fear and the people that are subject to greed are people who, to a significant degree, simply follow trends.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay?
If it's going up and you invest in it because you're greedy and you say, hey, look at the trend, I can make money on this. If it's going down, say, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose money, I've got to bail out. These people are following trends. You get to the smart people, and they're not necessarily following trends, they're following fundamentals. And they're saying, regardless, I'm not fearful, the trend is going down right now, it's not going to inspire my fear because I look at fundamentals and I say, wait, this is a temporary blip. This has to come back to a different level of reality. It's not a cause for fear. It's simply a cause for smarts. Likewise, if the trend is going upwards, it doesn't necessarily mean that you jump on it and you say, oh, I'm going to be greedy. If the fundamentals aren't there, stay away. So I'm amplifying this idea. Fear and greed follows trends. Smarts follows fundamentals. It's a hypothesis. It's just a little theory we're proposing right now, and maybe true, maybe useful, maybe not.
When we were at the height of the financial crisis, the fear and greed index, that actually sank to 12.
Well,
and the index gained some ground to 28 before some of the stocks finally bottomed out in March of 2009. And here we are today. So, I mean, they do take in, this is just, I don't put a lot of, I certainly wouldn't base any investment decisions on this little index.
Neither would
but,
I.
That's not the point. That's not the reason why I bring it up. But it is interesting to see how, which emotion is driving where we're headed. They take the stock price momentum. They take the stock price strength. they take into consideration put and call options. They take into, I think, in consideration junk bond demands, safe haven demands. But usually that safe haven demand is truly based on, you know, just treasuries, you know, not gold, of course. But so, I mean, they do take in these various indicators in order to get the number. So, but I agree with you. I mean, it's, you know, fundamentals are the way to go. It's the only way that you should, you know, be making investment decisions. And that's why I always concentrate on the fundamentals when it comes to gold and silver. I mean, there's all kinds of theories out there regarding the COMEX and everything, like, you know, the shortages, and certainly these can all play a very important part in the future when the price of the metals continue to, you know, when they begin to rise again, and this economy, the cracks get bigger and bigger, and we begin to see bigger problems. But stick with the fundamentals, and you just really can't go wrong. I mean, you just can't.
Well, you can. It depends on your time frame. I mean, you can go with fundamentals today, and you can lose money between now and tomorrow. But you go with the fundamentals today and look at a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road.
Gold and silver are long-term investments. So if people are looking for a short-term investment in gold, they should probably, for, you know, less than a year, they probably shouldn't get into gold and silver.
Well, it all goes up, it goes down.
There's certain products that you can purchase. I mean, I do have clients who are looking to preserve the cash that they have. They don't want to put it in the bank, and they do want to put it into gold. And there are certain products that you buy in order to do that for a short-term basis. So, I mean, you can do it, but certainly it isn't a rule of thumb.
Well, Warren Buffett made the comment he wouldn't buy anything that he didn't feel comfortable. You just buy it now and don't look at it for 10 years and feel comfortable that it would still be a valuable investment and a profitable investment 10 years from now. That's one of his alleged principles for investing. Now, I don't doubt that he invests, you know, on shorter term, but that 10-year idea is he's looking at fundamentals. That's all he can be doing, is looking at fundamentals. There is no 10-year trend that any of us can rely on, absolutely, other than the trends themselves are subject to go up, they go down. That happens. But Warren's looking, one of the handful, two or three best investors in the history of the world, he's looking at what's going to happen in 10 years. And that's how that's part of his selection process for what am I going to invest in. I want to invest in something that will be valuable and profitable 10 years from now.
Well, if you have a direct line to the White House, I'm sure most of us could be pretty good investors too. And certainly he's an insider. He's one of the elite. And certainly he gets additional advantages in order to make those great investments decisions. So, when you support the Bank of America's and so forth, I mean, he was right in there supporting these huge banks during their collapse. Bank of America should have went under. He's in there. He might have started out as a young investor that did very well in the beginning. But, you know, of late, of how many years, he is certainly one of the elite, certainly an insider. And without that inside trading, and that's my opinion, I can't, you know, I don't want to get myself into trouble, but you wonder how well he would actually do without it, without those ties to the White House.
I agree, but you got to get to a point. Still, it took some smarts to get to a point where he was considered an insider. You can't
maybe
just
he was an insider from day
say.
One. Maybe he was a day.
I doubt that. He was just some guy who started investing, got smart, or got lucky. Some of us just get lucky, and they say, oh, you're a genius. No, maybe you're just lucky.
I don't know how Berkshire Hathaway started out. I do have a customer who he was putting himself through college, and and that's how he did it, through investing. And he put a few bucks into his stock and take his profits, and that's how he paid for college. And Berkshire Hathaway was $500 around that area, but he couldn't afford $500. And at that point in time, and of course this was back in the 70s, and so today if he was able to hold on to those shares, it certainly would have been worth a lot more. But so anyway, what's next, Al?
Well, we can talk about Baltimore.
All right.
We have a problem in Baltimore based on Freddie Gray. Died in police custody under circumstances that the police have yet to explain. All right. And we're not talking about he died yesterday, an hour after the arrest, under mysterious circumstances. We'll get the story. It's been a week or more, and they still haven't explained what's happened. There are the result is that people are demonstrating, at least in Baltimore. They're concerned that the police have been shooting. It's basically blacks, not only, but basically blacks demonstrating in Baltimore. Police are shooting too many people. And there's a point to the demonstrations. This is, I've seen a report that indicates that Freddie Gray, the guy that died, he was no angel. He was, I've seen one report that indicated he'd been arrested and perhaps convicted something like 20 times previously. And perhaps the report suggested that if our law enforcement was more rational, people like Freddie Gray would have been locked up long ago on a permanent basis, or a semi-permanent basis at least, for 5 years or 10 years, take him out of circulation. Instead, they'd catch him, arrest him, convict him, throw him back. Catch him, arrest him, convict him, throw him back. Put him back into the world. And if you give people a certain kind of immunity from prosecution, they eventually become more and more criminal. They begin to say, hey, I got the golden touch. I'm a magic man. I can get away with anything, and the cops can't jail me for any length of time. All right? And so we see Freddie Gray perhaps committing more and more acts. He was allegedly involved in drug dealing and all kinds of crime, a number of other kinds of crimes, allegedly. So, but what gets me is given, and that's part of the reality that confuses the situation in Baltimore. Freddie Gray was arguably a bad guy, right? We can make, a lot of people are going to make that argument. I'm sure that there are a lot of cops who won't admit it publicly, but under their, you know, in private, they'll say the guy needed shooting. The cops who think that way, I have no doubt. I can't prove it. I can't point to one, but I have no doubt. It's a certain amount of common sense. Nevertheless, the fact that he was a bad guy doesn't justify him being executed, essentially, by the police. Right? Here's part of, I'm reading from an article, the Associated Press. Headline is, thousands attend Baltimore funeral for Freddie Gray. And down there, this is part of, again, Associated Press, this is amazing to me. Police said Gray was arrested after he made eye contact with officers and ran away. Huh? He didn't shoot anybody. They didn't see him shoot anybody, at least. They didn't see him rob a store. All this guy did was make eye contact with officers, and he took off running. Now, it may be that he thought the cops were coming after him after being arrested, convicted, who knows, 20 times or whatever it was. He may have just naturally assumed that. All right, maybe he had a fistful of good, maybe he had a fistful of drugs in his pocket. That hasn't been reported so far as I know. But he's made eye contact, he took off running, and he wound up dead. Now, he may be a bad man, but there's something wrong with that. The police can't simply chase people because they looked at the police. That can't be. And yet, in this case, it did. It is. It did happen. Now, the police are going to sit back and say, we know Freddie. He's been arrested 100 times. Guy should have been put in jail and stayed for years. He just keeps on beating the rap. We knew he was up to something. And when he took off running, we knew he either had drugs on him or something illegal that he stole, or he was packing a gun or something. So they ran after him. Well, maybe he didn't have anything on him. He just ran because he was naturally afraid of the cops. And we talk about, on the one hand, Freddie Gray has been beating the rap time and time again, 20 times maybe. Right? He thinks he's immune to the legal system, and that makes him arrogant. But what about the police? I've seen reports. I've seen one report that calculated. I don't know the truth of the matter. I've seen it. I don't know if it's true or false. But it alleges that you are 70 times more likely to be shot and killed by a cop in the United States than you are in Europe. That's not a small thing. Assuming that that number is reasonably accurate, that's not a small discretion. It's not twice as likely to be killed in this country. It's 70 times. And why is that? Because the cops have immunity from the law. In a sense, Freddie Gray had immunity from the law because he'd been out there 20 times and nobody ever stuck him in the prison and made him stick. In the same sense, the cops have immunity from the law. We have two gangs of people who think, we've got the crooks who think they're immune to the law, we've got the cops who think they can't be held accountable for shooting people. Maybe the solution is that everybody's got to be held more accountable. And when I say everybody, I mean both the crooks and the government. And an unaccountable crook just makes for more crime. An unaccountable government makes for more tyranny and oppression, which is worse. Somebody's got to start making everybody accountable. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We have Jim from West Virginia calling us right now. Good afternoon, Jim.
Oh, good afternoon. You're referring to the Baltimore issue. There is a deeper underlying problem, which has really disturbed me for a long time. And finally, a fellow I knew, a long-time acquaintance, retired as a deputy sheriff about 7 or 8 years ago. And he said, here's the situation. You take some guy caught with marijuana, you bust him, you send him to prison, and he keeps the prison staffed with slave labor. He says, but the violent criminals are unwanted by the prisons. They don't make very good workers.
That's right. They throw them out.
Huh? Say again?
They'll throw them out of the jail. They're running the jails or the prisons. They're running them like a business. They don't need any disruptive employees.
Absolutely. Right? So you have that factor. He said there's another factor. He says the drugs are brought in by the police, by the various people, and they need their dealers. He said if we wanted to, we could clean out all these different issues. Mm-hmm. But we don't. I know a gal who has been in... arrested for public intoxication 47 times. But the prison systems don't want her. She's
What's the Guinness
disabled.
Record? Is she going for the Guinness record? Does you need over 50, or how many do you need to get the record?
I don't know. But it's very simple. When I was at West Virginia University, there were two professors arguing back and forth. One on the far left, one on the far right. It was kind of like Saturday Night Live. They would get together on Friday afternoons, and some of the kids would be out drinking a little bit. And these two guys would argue. One time one of them said, the only laws the government will enforce are those that are profitable to the government.
Yeah.
And they do not enforce laws that are not profitable to the government. So we have an underlying problem. And also my retired deputy friend said the more violence that people are aware of, the more they'll say, oh, police protector me. We'll fund you more. We need more policemen. So there's this secondary underlying problem. Also, another federal contact retired, and he said very simply, we could clean out all the gangs. The FBI has enough information. They could clean out MS-13. They could clean them all out. Yeah. They don't, and they won't. So therefore, we have criminals, hardcore, vicious criminals out on the street. And they hate the police. It's just as evil to shoot a policeman because he's a policeman as it is to shoot anybody because of their race or ethnicity or anything. But
I agree.
The problem is the police sit there and they say, my God, the judges let them walk. And then we got to go out and face these blankety blanks. And they got guns. He said, so I mean, this is just definitely not good. So there's an underlying situation where they sit there and they say, oh, we have more violence. We need more police protection. So it's a little bit deeper problem than maybe this. Now, if Mr. Gray was a hardened criminal, violent in nature and what have you, who knows? Am I a policewoman over the edge? It's two wrongs do not make a right.
That's exactly right. And when we're talking about, like I was saying earlier, there's when we're freeing these criminals, habitual criminals are being freed. That's a problem. There's no accountability for criminals, but there's no accountability for cops either. They are granted special immunities where they figure the only reason some of these guys are being sent up is we saw one of the instances recently. I don't even remember where it was. They have a videotape. The cops shoot this guy in the back, and then he comes up and he drops a gun next to the dead body.
Yep.
Right? The cops, this is part of their mentality. We can get away. We can beat the rap. We can get away. The crooks think they don't have to obey the law. The cops think they don't have to obey the law. We've got two unaccountable gangs, essentially, that are facing off.
Exactly.
And
my
solution is both sides, not just get tough on crooks, get tough on cops also. They can't simply be shooting people. That can't be the solution to every problem. Another thing that crosses my mind is this. I think the influx of the increase in people, the apparent increase at least, in people being shot by cops, we used to think in terms of cops, they were there to protect us if somebody tried to rob the bank. Right, we got a gunfight outside the bank or something. They would protect us against murderers, and they'd shoot the murderer before he killed somebody else. Right now, how many victimless crimes are the cops enforcing? They're not going after crimes necessarily where there is a victim and a real responsibility. This is a bad guy. He robbed somebody, raped somebody, shot somebody. He needs to go under any circumstance. What about somebody who doesn't have insurance on his automobile, hasn't fastened his seatbelt, his taillight is out? We have circumstances where people get pulled over, and that was the one example I was mentioning. I can't remember the place exactly. Happened just in the last month or so. Guy gets stopped for some vehicle problem, and he takes off running, and the cop shoots him in the back. We can't just have a situation where the guy's taillight is out, and if he takes off running, we'll shoot him.
That is,
if there's no violence, don't pull your gun.
That is just as evil as can be. But
I agree.
Let me mention something about victimless crimes. Let's say I ride a motorcycle and I don't wear my helmet. I haven't harmed a single person. If I'm prosecutors, if I had harmed another living man or woman, if I am mistreated and fined and jailed or whatever, the victimless crime, I am the victim and the state is the criminal.
Well, I agree with you.
I agree with you
100%. And what's the idea behind victimless crimes? Why are they enforced?
To keep the prisons stocked.
Yeah, to keep the money rolling in. To keep the money rolling in.
Well, as a general
constitutionally,
rule,
if you don't have a witness that says, I've been harmed, I've been damaged, where's your criminal accusation?
Well,
we don't worry about that anymore. We just say, oh, you didn't fasten your seatbelt. You know, we got people who can barely afford to feed themselves in this economy, and we have the cops going out there and fining them a couple hundred dollars. Some poor slob who can't hardly feed himself, and he's got to pay another because he didn't fasten his seatbelt?
We're amongst these people you're speaking to. We're one of those slobs.
I know.
Money is extremely tight to us.
Yeah, I know.
Now, there's even another layer on this. Okay, the courts are, in fact, corporations. Look them up on Dun & Bradstreet.
Yeah, I know that. Manta.com.
Okay, now maybe the audience doesn't. Now, let me roll with this just a bit. So, basically, because the courts are engaged in commerce, not just justice, they're engaged in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are basically selling a product, which means we can enslave people, we can steal from people legally, even not lawful, but legally. So the courts naturally side with the individual, the customer, the people bringing forth the charges.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they please the customer because they sit there and say, oh, they're the customer, so we have to do what the people who bring the charges do if we're going to continue to prosper. This is as evil as it gets. Now, you would automatically think they try to convict everybody of anything. No, the only ones they convict are the ones that they can employ in the prison systems. And if you don't believe me, look up CCA.
Correctional Corporation of America.
Thank you. So it's well known amongst the patriot community. But unless and or until we deal with these other underlying problems, the drug war, where they want the gangs there to distribute the products, I was shocked to find out that there are parts of Charleston, West Virginia, where you're walking along and you see needles. And somebody told me that there was a fella who hired on as a policeman. I'm not going to say where, but after he was there for a year, he suddenly realized, oh, my God, the people hate us so badly. This is much more dangerous than I thought.
Yeah.
And he quit. So, anyway, the bottom line is there are good cops out there. There's bunches of them, and they know what the problems are. Now,
I understand that, but I would disagree that they're good cops from this perspective. If you know what the problem is and still you're going to button your lip and you're not going to say anything about it, you're part of the problem. If you're going to be good, you have to have the courage to stand up, speak out about what you see that's wrong. It's not enough just to sit back and say, well, I haven't shot anybody, and while you know very well that other people in your police department have and nothing's been done about it.
Well, it seems from talking to various people about this, there are good detachments, the state police, there are not so good.
I agree with you. I agree. This is not a situation. I'm not trying to say that all cops are guilty or wrong or something like that. That's not my perspective. But there is a problem of unaccountability. And the problem is significant and massive, because if it wasn't, why do we need blanket immunity, relatively speaking? Why do we need it for every cop? If there's only a couple of bad apples, we shouldn't need immunity for all the cops.
Well,
if there's only a couple of bad apples, jail them.
Well,
the idea when we have immunity for all, it invites, if they're not corrupt to begin with, it invites them to become corrupt because they enjoy the same kind of immunity that Freddie Gray enjoyed.
Well, I was speaking with a seasoned reporter who couldn't get anything past the editors, but she's just been about 40 years, well, 30-some years ago, and he said corruption reaches a tipping point where everybody has something on everybody else, and
yep.
nobody speaks out about anything.
Yep.
Now, sooner or later, all these systems are going to fall. They're going to fail because anything built on this many lies will come apart. As the Federal Reserve note comes apart, all these governments out here, how do you run a government without Federal Reserve notes? So it will come apart, but if we don't have more people cleaning up their own messes, it's going to get worse. Now, I will say this much. I can feel there is a tide change where people are saying, we have bad cops, we have to get rid of them. I'm sure that whoever did the damage to Mr. Gray, I mean, he's on the top of everybody's list because you brought it down on all of us, and this is good.
Yeah.
But I just hope and pray we can minimize the violence. And, well, there was one city, I'm not going to say where, there was a policeman, and I had warned the mayor of this town, this policeman was out of control. And about 2 years later, he unloaded his service pistol into the back of the head of a man who was seeing the same woman he was. There was a state police investigation. They said, oh, the policeman did nothing wrong. We're talking 7 shots out of 40 cal. All right, in the point-blank range. Well, there was a suit. There was an undisclosed settlement. Now, this is very interesting. And I found out how much it was, and I'm not saying, exactly how much, but the cost every man, woman, and child in that town, we're talking 4 digits. Now, here's the interesting part.
That's one of the problems. When people get sued for committing crimes, it can't be that the fine is imposed on the taxpayer.
Right.
What difference does it make? You can sue me for anything you want as long as I can set the fine off and get somebody else to pay my bill. I'm not afraid of that, but when it comes out of your house, your mortgage, your car, and all of your financial welfare, including your pension, you have to pay. All of a sudden, people say, wait a second, I don't think I'm going to shoot anybody.
Well, the cop did not go to jail. The taxpayers paid the burden on this one, paid the bill on this one. Now, here's something more interesting. Somebody decided we're going to demand an audit of this particular city. They couldn't figure out where the money came from to pay the settlement. So yeah. I do believe that a lot of cities are carrying two sets of books.
Absolutely. CAFR, and Comprehensive Annual Financial, what is it, report?
CAFR.
Well,
if you own
stock, they carry
stock,
a budget that everyone knows about, and they carry a Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, which is after the fact and says, and if you read it carefully, it'll tell you where the money really is, where it went to, how much they spent. The budget is just a projection. It's like planning on our vacation. We're going to go to Knott's Berry Farm, and then on Tuesday we're going to go to Disneyland, and the next day we're going to go to SeaWorld. That's the budget, planning into the future. Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, required by law, is what we actually did. This is how much money we really made. This is how much money we really spent. This is where we squirreled it away.
Well, if you own stock in Exxon, for instance, you can get an annual report, their comprehensive annual financial report.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been aware of the CAFR issue since the 80s, and I got hold of a 2009 CAFR for West Virginia. They'll just hand it to you. No problem at all. And I found out a lot of the monies were buried in mortgage-backed securities, which are worth a fraction of what they say they are. The corruption is the auditors. The corruption has to do with the judiciary. The corruption has to do with the private prison systems. The corruption has to do with the phony drug war.
The whole system. The whole system is fundamentally corrupt.
Flawed.
Yeah.
So I don't know which hand. It seems like everybody's ever tried to get a handle on this. The handle snaps off in their hand. But one
no, because you're either going to get shot or somebody's going to make you an offer you can't refuse and say, yes, listen, Jim, why don't we just give you, let's say, $500,000 and you buzz off? Is that enough to keep quiet, or should we send a couple of guys out with a 40 cal and see if you know how many slugs you can absorb?
Well, this fellow who retired for the deputy, he was a good guy. He's so clean, he squeaked. He was always, he drove real old cars, and he was always taking security guard positions. He was so clean, he squeaked. And he said, yeah, if I raise hell, that meant that I would get fired instantly. And he said, I decided I was going to keep trying to do the right thing in the position I was in. He said, but the whole system has got to come apart. He says, I don't know the answer to it either.
No, it's exact. And that's what's going to happen. And what we're seeing in Baltimore, again, we've got criminals that aren't accountable. We got cops that aren't accountable. And we it creates an inevitable, for what is it, the irresistible force and the immovable object. These things are colliding right now, and it's not going to be a happy ending until everyone decides, wait, we've got to have accountability. We also have to have commercials, Jim. I got to thank you for your call. We got to get out and get down. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here in Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, so far we have not talked much about Operation Jade Helm. And there's certainly a lot of information that is it's certainly being discussed. More and more information is being released. As time goes on, we're finding out a little bit more. Even this weekend, there was a lot of discussions, maybe it's been longer than this weekend, about a possible connection with Walmart even. So we're not quite sure yet as far as the true connection, but there's certainly, there's a lot, Al, that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense or to which we feel comfortable about.
Well, I got an article here from the Washington Post, and the headline is Why Operation Jade Helm 15 is Freaking Out the Internet and Why It Shouldn't Be. They're arguing that Jade Helm is okay. All right, it's not no cause for concern. There's nothing going on here. But they say in the article, this is the vast geographically and strategically, this mission is vast both geographically and strategically. And they're going to be elite service members from all four branches of the U.S. military will launch an operation this summer in which they will operate covertly among the U.S. public, and travel from state to state in military aircraft. Texas, Utah, and a section of Southern California are labeled as hostile territory, and New Mexico isn't much friendlier. Here we have the U.S. military will be operating covertly. That has to mean they're not wearing Army uniforms. I'm not saying that everyone in Jade Helm will be operating in civilian clothes, but at least a significant percentage will apparently be operating in civilian clothes as if they were spies or secret agents or whatever. Now, there was a time when if you showed up in a foreign country and you didn't have your military uniform on, you could be shot as a spy. As long as you were wearing your uniform, you were entitled to certain protections under the Geneva Conventions. Point. What are we going to do? What are they training for where they have to act covertly? All right? There's something strange about this. This is the sort of thing we're sending an elite group of secret agents into the United States to train. And this is allegedly a training exercise. My next point is training for what? An invasion of Canada? England? Where are we going? If we're going to train these people to operate covertly in a nation that speaks English and is predominantly white, it seems to me that the training should be in anticipation of perhaps invading some foreign nation that speaks English and whose population is predominantly white. And where is that nation? Canada? England? What? Australia? Are we going to invade one of those countries? Or are they actually training to reinforce a police state in this country? They go on and they say, here's an Army Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria. He's speaking on behalf of the military. He says the nature of warfare is always changing. All right? I don't know if it's just the nature of warfare that's changing. I think the targets of warfare may also be changing. And people are legitimately wondering, is the military preparing to put secret agents into our country? Is the war going to be waged against the people of the United States? That's what's got people talking about Jade Helm. Huh? Who is the ultimate target on this thing? What is the target? These guys are being trained, equipped, and organized to successfully conduct worldwide special operations in support of our nation's interests. We haven't had a war in support of our nation's interests in my lifetime. We have wars in support of special interests, but not the nation's interests. Worldwide. He says worldwide special operations, but he goes on and say refining the skills needed against ever-changing foreign threat. If these guys are working against a foreign threat, what language are they going to speak against this foreign threat? You know, we have had a situation since they enacted the Patriot Act back in 2001, which no one in Congress even read before they voted for it. It has established the foundation for a growing police state in this country. And people are concerned about that. People know about this. It's making them anxious. There was a time when, okay, we've got dangers. We've got problems here, and we have to, you know, cut a couple of rules or whatever in order to defend against the Muslims and the terrorists. And people are beginning to sit back and wait. We're not defending against the Muslims. We're not defending against the terrorists. We're giving government license to shoot us. And for all the people that are concerned, I've seen one report, people say, oh, they're shooting black people. They shoot more whites every year than they shoot blacks. Right? They're shooting everybody. It's not just a racial situation. But what it is a situation where the police themselves are not accountable. The solution to the problem, if a guy starts running, they shoot him. It doesn't matter if he's been, again, we had the report a month ago. videotape. Cop shot this black guy, run away from his car. Over what? It was something like a defective, it might have been he ran, I don't even remember. It might have been that he ran a stop sign. It may be that the taillight was out. That was all. This was a traffic beef that wound up with a man being shot and killed, murdered by a cop on videotape. Right? You can't, the police can't be trained and allowed to proceed on the basis of, we'll just shoot anybody who doesn't essentially jump as high as we say for them to jump. If it's a traffic beef and the guy takes off running, let him run. He's lost his car, tow the car, and when the guy comes in, it's going to cost him $150 a day or whatever to get his car back, if he wants it back. And if he doesn't, fine, we'll auction it off. It cannot be the automatic response if somebody starts running, if somebody looks at you funny. If somebody does something that is nonviolent, you can't automatically react with gunfire. And yet that's where we are. And we see that, and it makes people anxious. We know that we are becoming more and more of a police state. And we look at Jade Helm, and we say, is this part of it? What are they training for? Are they training to put us into a bigger and better police state? Are they training to defend this country, or are they training to oppress this country? And that's the question. And no one has satisfactory answers, and no one cares enough about these answers to say, maybe we shouldn't even have Jade Helm. Maybe we shouldn't conduct these kinds of exercises in the United States, if only because they will be misunderstood. Maybe it's not a good time for this. And so, you know, Jade Helm gets us talking to ourselves. And maybe we're right with our suspicions, and maybe we're wrong. But government can't just sit back and say, oh, you people are silly. You don't have to worry about us. We're just practicing to take over an English-speaking population that's predominantly white. That's all. But not you. We would never do that to the United States. You know, hey, Scouts Honor, you can trust us. We're from the government. We're here to help you. A lot of people aren't so sure that's true. And we are not without reason. Growing number of police shootings, police immunity, government immunity. You know, you talked about it earlier. The idea this guy, Freddie Gray, got away with 20 crimes or thereabouts. They take him to court, convict him, and he gets out. He enjoyed immunity. Police enjoy immunity. Somebody's got to stop this immunity business. And we all have to be equal in front of the law. We can't sit back and say, oh, they're special. They work for government. They're entitled to immunity. No, they're not. If the law enforcers, if they're not going to be subject to the law, nobody's going to respect them. They will inevitably abuse that immunity. And when they do, what happens? People ultimately start shooting, throwing rocks, throwing bottles, rioting, burning buildings, whatever. We all have to be subject to the law. Either all of us are equally or none of us are. And when the government says, we can be immune but you cannot, there are people in the country that just say, no, that's the, forget that. If you're immune to the law, I'm immune to the law. You don't have to obey the law, I don't have to obey the law. You know, the government is supposed to be the public servant, not the public master. When we give government these immunities, we actually set them up to be our master rather than our servant. And if anything, government should be held at least to the same standards as ordinary people. And more properly, as our servant, they should be held to even higher standards. But at least they should be as accountable as we are. And when they say, nope, we can't be accountable, you can't hold us accountable, well, fine. Now we have people that are concerned that Operation Jade Helm is going to be, is a manifestation of the police state, the growing police state. And people are angry, upset, anxious, fearful. We see people rioting, at least demonstrating in Baltimore. And this has as much to do with police immunity. We had half a dozen cops who thought we can beat the crap out of this black guy. Okay, because we're cops, we'll get away with it. And they got too far and they killed him. They figured they had immunity. Freddie Gray figured he had immunity. What difference does it make if they arrest him again? 21st time he's arrested or convicted or whatever, he'll be out on the street like a magic man. Yeah. Again, we're going to have to start holding everyone equally accountable. And if we're unwilling to do that, we are headed down a path that will, it will only become more violent, more oppressive, more tyrannical, until finally the whole place explodes in the same sense that Nazi Germany ultimately exploded back at the end of World War II. Everybody was pretty pleased to be a Nazi for a while. They got their boots polished and they were goose-stepping down the boulevards and whatever, and it was impressive. But there was a kind of madness in that fascism that inevitably led to national destruction that caused Germany to be separated into two separate nations for 50 years. There is a kind of insanity in the police state that's growing in this country right now, which will lead to catastrophe, national, political, economic catastrophe. It will lead to it. And the only way out is not to build bigger and better police stations and jail people for longer times in bigger jails and prisons. Somewhere along the line, we've got to stop jailing people and even shooting them for nonviolent crimes, victimless crimes. No. And if we're not prepared to do that, there are people who are perhaps too poorly educated and even too unintelligent to be able to read the law books and fully understand what they say. But at the same time, they understand when they're being oppressed. They understand when the government is going too far, and they may not be able to articulate it, they might not be able to explain it, but they still understand. And eventually, they're going to respond in a way that is not going to be pleasant. Nobody's going to really like it. One of the articles we have here today is that Baltimore cops report that there are, headline from the Baltimore Sun, Baltimore police say gangs teaming up to take out officers. And they say, oh my gosh, they're going to shoot the cops. Well, then black people are saying, oh my gosh, they're going to shoot the blacks. You know, law is not something you just enforce. Law is something you have to respect and recognize that it's as enforceable against you as it is against someone else. And when we start saying, not enforceable against me, I'm special, I'm a magic gangster, I can beat the rap every time, all that does is encourage him to commit more crimes. Similarly, if you are a cop and you're shooting people or you're a member of the police department, every time you see cop shot somebody and he gets no indictment, nothing happens, no consequence. All it does is, if you're curious, why not shoot the next guy? Why not? You can get away with it. You're a cop. You can beat the rap. And even if there's any fines, penalties, it'll be paid by the taxpayers. And then you'll be a made man. Just like in the mafia, you have shot and killed somebody, and people, hey, a man among men, he's a killer. Yes, Melody?
No, I'm just listening to you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that this whole thing, it's not one side is right and one side is wrong. There's an argument here that every side is wrong on this. And much of this wrong, we can trace back maybe. I mean, there's a bunch of places we can go to, but we can go back to the Patriot Act, which gave government certain immunities and created a false idea that, oh my gosh, because we're threatened by all these terrorists, we have to go to extreme measures and we have to embrace fascism. Maybe the solution is to embrace constitutional law. Maybe the solution, if we don't do it, maybe we're headed for a national collapse. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening. In the meantime, hope the good Lord will bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd stroll around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money, always sunny.